Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Hey, what's up everybody? Tobias Tahi here. What a massive show today's one was, and you are here now tuned into the replay from the 18th of July, 2024, obviously. Today's show had music from Tom McDonald, Sesh, Michael Jackson, Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Eminem, Big Seema, and so much more. We don't have full replays of my show for permanent download, so to catch all of the music and my words of wisdom, make sure you catch the Truth Speakers show live and direct 1 p.m. Monday, 1 p.m. Thursday, or 10 p.m. replay on both of those days, and again 1 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Check out our website www.realitycheck.radio for more information about the Truth Speaker Show and all of the other RCR hosts.
You're listening to the Truth Speaker Show with Tobias Tahi, the replay edition on RCR, Reality Check Radio. Send us your feedback to inbox at realitycheck.radio.
Truth is here, the truth is here. Truth is here, the truth is here. Truth is here, the truth is here. I said the truth is here, the truth is here. I want.
I wanna be free. Free. Don't wanna be judged. I wanna be me.
I don't care if I offend you. I was born to upset you.
I want.
I hope one day they finally see the truth. God.
Truth is here, the truth is here.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we are back for another Truth Speaker music show. Today's show is going to be massive. I'm just checking my notes here next to me, and honestly, the pressure is on to do this right. This is me standing in my truth, like you know me to always do. If this is your first time listening, you're in for a treat. 3 hours of music, plus some truths from my mind about Trump, and at the end of the show, about the apparent attempted assassination attempt. So buckle up, turn this up, get ready to enjoy some massive songs that you won't hear on legacy radio stations, and let's get into it. Don't forget, at the end of today's show, I will be speaking on the apparent assassination attempt on Trump. But for now, I'm going to try and articulate my perspective of Donald Trump in a respectful manner that is easy for you to decipher and understand my personal perspective. I have a bad habit of expecting people to know certain things already, so I'll do my best to break this down. I'm also only going to scratch the surface of why I see it how I do, because I have a limited amount of time on my show, and how boring would it be to choke the entire show with hours of me chatting about Trump? If anything sparks your mind, hit me straight away, correct me, agree with me, tell me I'm an idiot who doesn't know a thing. Whatever it is, speak your truth, we don't get offended around here. Text 2057 or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. Now, I followed along with the Donald Trump political hype and phenomenon since day dot. I've dived deep into the QAnon world. My brother is very deep in his belief of the QAnon narrative and Donald Trump. We caught it all, break it down, debate, and go back and forth about it almost daily for years, in a very productive and respectful manner. I have close lifelong friends who are very much aligned with Donald Trump and QAnon and all that comes with that. So I don't speak from an angle that isn't aware of why people believe what they believe, and shit, sometimes I have to catch myself from feeding into it, because it is all so believable and being played out very well within a powerful multiple-pronged psychological operation that is so hard to use discernment on at times. So I get it. I get the why. I may not know as much as a hardcore, but I know a little bit. I personally think, for the Clintons, the Trumps, the Bushes, the Bidens, the Obamas, and all of these families within the visible American political spectrum, it's so much more basic for them. It's a lot more simple and straightforward, and isn't as deep as we are being played to believe. Remember, politics is a popularity contest and created to divide. We need to remember, all of those people I just mentioned, and obviously a whole bunch of others, were all once friends. Business associates. They ate together, sat in the same circles together, made business deals together, had business deals fall apart. bid against each other in deals in China, Russia, Ukraine, and unfortunately for those who are very much Trump supporters, they all hung out with Epstein, who is a Mossad Israeli agent sent to get into a position to blackmail and control American politicians, Hollywood losers, the financially powerful, corporation owners, and powerful figures within the Western world, and possibly the East also. Which ultimately means controlling the Western world, which some would argue is to control the world. He'd done this via his island. You should already know all about that. Now, in my opinion, these people are all trying to save themselves. This is a circle of what were once friends, associates, a group of people who were once having sex with children together, who are now fighting against each other while we think it is some prophesied end times war between good and evil. That war is happening. There is definitely a power struggle happening, but it isn't between this left and right wing political circus. And maybe you could argue that Trump saw the light and is now trying to right his wrongs and doesn't like what he was involved in back in the day. If that's the case, then he needs to be real about it and say, look, I effed up in my business life. I've done things I'm ashamed of. Here's the truth. I am sorry. Let me right my wrongs. And with the inside knowledge I have, help change this world. It's like this recent apparent leaked phone call between Trump and RFK Jr. where RFK's son leaked a video of a phone call between the two where Trump is on speakerphone talking about how bad vaccinations are for children. This is strategy and playing us as fools. You mean to tell me RFK didn't say to his son, yo son, record this phone call and pretend to leak it without my knowledge? This is psychological manipulation in order to try and fix and wipe the stain of the fact that Trump supported and rolled out the vaccination poison also. He played a massive role in it. Why not just be real? If he is the real deal, why doesn't he simply say, look everyone, I made a massive mistake during COVID. I supported a vaccination that is now being proven to be harmful to people, including babies, and I apologize, and now I'm going to do everything in my power to right that wrong. Instead of playing manipulative politics by pretending to leak a phone call in order to catch the turning tide of the truth about the COVID shot. That, to me, you lose credibility when you try to play games. There is definitely a war versus good and evil happening. There always was, and there always will be. It's the natural human existence and polarity of positive and negative. They both have to exist for each other to exist. But the current war between good and evil is not how the American political circus is trying to paint. The good and evil that are fighting, it isn't being done on your TV screen. It isn't being done on your social media feeds. We don't even know their names. But I will tell you this, humanity is the good. Humanity is the living God particle. The people are the good. You are the good they are trying to control. The evil is open for debate. But I believe the majority of the roads keep leading back to Israel's leaders and the string pullers of those leaders. But this American political division is all part of controlling the good, controlling the people, keeping you in a state of feeling powerless without a savior, distracting you from you, distracting you from what is going to actually change the world. You. Keep in mind, I mean zero disrespect or offense to anyone who supports Trump. This is my perspective and you have yours. I strongly believe that QAnon is Roger Stone and Jim Watkins. Search those names, connect some dots on why I feel they are behind QAnon. All roads lead to Rome, or in this case Israel, and I believe both sides are playing us all off against each other for their own lover's tiff to protect themselves and their legacy from the corruption they have all been involved in, from being exposed. And we're out here thinking this is biblical, this is God versus devil, this has been prophesied. But after years of observing and seeing through the psyops, I strongly in my heart of hearts believe they are both part of the same distraction, the same division. They are tools of evil and are controlled by the same evil. And I know and completely respect that will offend some people who love Trump. I'm not saying this is fact, this is my truth and perspective after 5 short years of dissecting this entire thing. We need to remember anything that divides will eventually die. Anything that divides isn't of God. Anything that divides isn't for humanity. And I would love to be wrong, but I won't play part in being a cheerleader of a political figure who, no matter how much you think you have read online or researched or know, unless you are sitting at the table with the man, you don't know a thing. I'll be the first to admit it is a tricky one to navigate because even when refreshing my memory of it all for today's show, I had moments of stepping back and having to check myself because I felt myself questioning if I am wrong. But when I got control over my own mind and perspective and wasn't listening to the groupthink or one-sided narratives, I quickly found myself back in a balanced place of perspective and back into my own thoughts, not MK Ultra perspective changing manipulation. I'd love to be wrong. However, the people are the savior. You are the savior. And as long as we are distracted by elite or political personal beefs, agendas, power shifts, or financial interests, we will continue to be susceptible to being further controlled, divided, and owned. They give each side a hero and then pin us off against each other while the string pullers sit back and bank off of both sides. Let's have that respectful exchange in a world where they want us at each other's throats. 2057 is the text, or you can email inbox@realitycheck.radio. Remember to stay tuned to the end of today's show where I will be speaking on the apparent assassination attempt of Trump. You are listening to the Truth Speaker Music Show. My name is Tobias Tahi and this is RCR, Reality Check Radio. One thing that has come out of the patriotism in Trump's corner is some powerful music that I absolutely love. We need to keep that energy. We need to keep that love for our country, love for our nation, love for our world, our love for truth, our love for all things that make this world better. As a whole, that strength, that love for God, that movement that has been created to stand up against the corrupt politicians, the corrupt agendas, the establishment, the system, without being a political cheerleader. I love what has come out of the Trump era. Even if I can see through the agenda within, I can still see the power surrounding. So I threw those last songs in as an example of that. Alright, let's keep it moving here on the Truth Speaker Music Show. My name is Tobias Tahi. This is RCR, Reality Check Radio. These next songs are from Eminem, who has always been a controversial figure, but whether you love him, hate him, don't care about him, he is currently placing himself as his own social experiment to see how far he can push cancel culture and the easily offended snowflakes of the world by releasing an album under his alias Slim Shady, which that era of Eminem is some of the most out-the-gate controversial lyrics the history of music has ever seen, no matter the genre. He was saying things back in the early 2000s that would make the soft cancel culture types cry, and it is. With the release of his new album titled The Death of Slim Shady, they're now looking back at his earlier music and are being absolutely triggered and trying to cancel him. And it's beautiful to watch. It is entertainment. Because you can't cancel one of the most powerful figures in the music industry who doesn't care whether his career carries on or not. He's reached the end of his career, so you're trying to cancel someone who doesn't give a... But he's just dropped songs dissing gays, dissing straight people, dissing trans people, just dissing absolutely everyone, which is what the world needs right now. People to remember that people can say whatever they want and it's on us how we react. And that goes across all parts of this human experience, experiment, whatever we are. It's like we've all just become so serious and can't even laugh at ourselves anymore. What a boring existence. Anyway, Eminem trolling the world right now is beautiful. Go ahead and browse around YouTube. I think if you search Gen Z reacts to Eminem, you're up for some entertainment. I'm going to try spin a few songs from Slim Shady, Eminem, and that new album. It is hard though because I will censor them or use clean versions of the songs, which means there isn't much to choose from when it comes to appropriate content. But let's give it a go and see how we get on. Those songs are light work compared to early 2000s Eminem. But in this cancel culture easily offended time, they are seen as massively controversial and people are losing their minds over them. This is exactly what the music industry has needed. Someone who isn't an up-and-coming musician. Someone who isn't trying to make it. Someone who can't be cancelled because they have been at the top of their genre for decades. Someone who doesn't have anything to lose, is a multi-millionaire and doesn't need the money. Is this what is going to shift us back to a place of reason within the music industry? Are other musicians going to follow suit? Who knows, but watching people lose their minds and get offended as if there's a loaded gun to their head forcing them to listen has been beautiful. I think I can squeeze in one more before things start getting a bit too messy with the content in these songs. I definitely won't be able to throw into old school Slim Shady Eminem. Are you offended? 2057 is the text or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. All right, let's get into it. If you have come here from my Facebook and socials and this is your first time tuning into my show, welcome, and I hope you have enjoyed the ride so far. As promised, I'm going to speak on this Trump assassination attempt circus, not because I am very much attached or emotionally invested in it, but because I actually find this one interesting to break down and look into, and I think there is value in doing so moving forward as a people. I refuse to believe a random unhinged 20-year-old was able to access the one vantage point in the entire place, be seen by dozens of people, Secret Service and police informed, people standing around videoing and yelling at him and police. Secret Service sighted him in their scope, didn't take the shot, waited for him to fire 7 times, and then, boom, took him out. Let's bring some perspective into this, shall we? And I've looked into this extensively as more and more information comes out. I usually don't give these things my attention and energy because that is partially what they are created for, to distract and consume us. But this one feels important enough to dive into. The one vantage point in the entire vicinity of Butler Farm in Evans City was a high roof on Pennsylvania American Waters factory, to the right of the podium and crowd, if facing toward the crowd from where Trump was speaking from. This one vantage point was a very tall factory, perfect for Secret Service to utilize, being the highest point in a 10-acre radius. Right? But they didn't. Now, I don't know how much RCR listeners understand how these events work with security detail, but they arrive days ahead, scope the area, map it out, secure spots, and plan in absolute detail every possible scenario, every way that a shooter could gain access, where they would and could shoot from, and they have someone covering all possible points of danger, or 10 times out of 10, using those high vantage points for themselves. Now why? Weren't they able to spot a shooter on a roof of the only building of threat at this rally from their vantage point next to the stage of similar height, when people on the ground for almost 4 to 5 minutes plus were yelling about him? This building was a rugby paddock away from Trump, 399 feet to be exact, which equates to 121 meters, a rugby field. And it was left completely open, vacant, and not watched, not utilized by Secret Service as a vantage point, being the highest building in the entire area, little over 100 small meters away from Trump. I mean, Trump himself would have been able to see the man on the roof. None of it adds up. My logical, critical thinking brain isn't allowing me to see this as straightforward as an unhinged shooter climbed a building unnoticed, took 7 shots, skimming Trump's ear before being shot. That narrative doesn't sit right with me, and it is our job to question the narrative. They say a cop did climb up, see him, climb back down. Makes sense. Rumors of a second shooter is coming out with videos of it hitting another bleacher from a completely different angle though, which is very interesting. My automatic response mechanism went straight to, this was staged. Staged as in it happened, but didn't happen how we are being and will be told. I fed into it all as much as everyone else did, but the fact we are bickering and being divided over an event on the other side of the world and have lost the ability to ration out a civil corridor around it and then move on is partially why these types of events happen. Divide and distract. Now, I'm still sure this was staged by the Secret Service. In fact, I'm 99% sure it is. Where Trump plays in all of this, I am unsure. However, the way things played out with him doesn't add up either, and it further plays into the theatrics. Here's what gets me. While the people are trying to get the Secret Service attention, Trump gets the crowd to all look over at a picture about immigration, drawing their attention over to something else. The Secret Service at this exact same time asked people to start moving from behind Trump and the stage, including the photographer who captured the shots of Trump on the ground. it almost looks like they're getting him into position. Boom, shots fired. Trump brings his hand to his ear. Video is coming out focusing in on Trump's hand, and there is what looks like a yellow dye pack or something in his hand. I can't verify this, however, because in grainy, low-quality footage, I'm not going to be certain. But when his hand comes back down, it's not there, and there is also no blood on his hand from touching what is meant to be a gunshot grazing his ear. A gunshot from a semi-automatic rifle, AR-15 type. Now, I know my guns. And that would have been a .233 caliber, which when it hits its target, it penetrates and expands within the tissue. This is only when a significant amount of resistance is caused, however. But the zero or very, very minimal damage to Trump's ear doesn't match an apparent grazing from these types of bullets. It simply doesn't match. It either hits or it doesn't. There's no middle ground, and the odds of are just not viable. At the same time all of this is happening, shots are fired from one of the Secret Service snipers while the other oddly cowers back and pretends to duck for cover. Or do they duck for cover? Have shots come from somewhere else? Why did that sniper hide? It's odd. Trump on the ground, face being wiped by Secret Service. Why? He comes up completely exposed with only a small female Secret Service agent in front of him between him and the crowd. Convenient. The mic picks up two strange things. Trump saying quietly, "Wait, wait, wait." Before taking a moment to raise a fist and pose for the crowd and yell, "Fight, fight, fight," instead of being completely covered and ushered off stage. The all clear was given for one shooter, I admit. Why did they seem so confident there wasn't a second? As if they very much knew there was only one, and once they popped him, all was well. And by one, I mean one that was a potential actual threat. Who was the second shooter? The other thing that Trump said was, before they stand up, he's telling them to put his shoes on. Now, I've been in situations with guns. I've had a sawn-off 303 pointed at my head point blank. I've been in a house that was shot at. I've been at a party when I was younger when someone pulled a gun. And trust me, the last thing you care about after being shot at or threatened is your shoes or posing for photos. What's so important about those shoes, Trump? And you could argue, but Trump's a different breed and nothing can stop him. God's on his side. But it's all just a bit too opportunist for me. But that's my perspective, and as more information comes out, I'm sure the truth will too. I'll make sure of that. I'm on the fence on Trump's involvement, but I do not trust him, and we need to ask who benefits the most from this current outcome we have right now. Not the potential outcome, but what we are living right now, the outcome we have. My theory, they knew the shooter was coming. They received intelligence and were well aware. They used it to their advantage. By they, I mean the Secret Service. Again, they left him open. They left his vantage point accessible, the one high point in the entire park, a rugby field away from Trump. They held him in his sights and waited for him to look like he was about to fire and executed their plan. And the argument, but somebody died. You think they care about collateral damage to ensure authenticity? I mean, look how many died during COVID, 9/11. Look at all the events with collateral damage has occurred. Let alone one person who, just because the media and possible crisis actors do interviews about him being dead, it doesn't mean he actually is. And I've looked at his Facebook and it breaks my heart to see his children and wife who have potentially lost the man of their house. I don't want to come across as heartless or disrespectful, but I've seen all of this way too many times before to simply believe what we are being shown. Who was the second shooter? Did they take out the collateral damage in order to authenticate the whole stage, the whole show? Did the shooter on the roof even fire a bullet? Were the shots actually from the second shooter, and they used the deceased shooter as the one who shot Trump, the typical patsy in these types of events, because they knew he was coming? Keep in mind, Trump arrived an hour late, and this all happened 5 minutes into him speaking. Did they get word the shooter was in the area and make a plan to utilize and capitalize on this? I'm sorry, but this shit screams staged, set up, premeditated, utilized. By who and for what gain? There isn't enough information to conclude and claim that I know 100%. That would be ignorant. I also believe MK Ultra type tactics are used in these situations with lone wolf shooters and patsies. I would, however, like to point out a few things. 1. Trump's case files in which he was accused of raping a 14-year-old girl at one of Epstein's parties have been declassified recently. Trump's stocks are up 51%. Project 2025 announcement has been quickly forgotten, amongst other things that are happening in the background. Ask yourself, if this was Biden and his ear was apparently grazed in an attempted assassination, would you believe the narrative? No effing way would you. Everyone who supports Trump would be calling it a psyop, saying it's staged, and digging deeper than deep, as I am, to try and piece together why this doesn't add up. So why aren't the critical thinkers of last year wanting to even chance at critical thinking this year? Afraid of potentially uncovering the truth about Trump? Maybe. What is concerning is people have become so lost in this whole Trump hype that if a video came out showing him putting fake blood on and proving it was all staged, the response would be, oh, trust the plan, it's all part of the plan to wake the world up. Trump got caught on purpose. And it wouldn't even affect his credibility in their eyes. That is so out the gate. I'm aware those who have the most to gain by Trump being unalived are obviously his ex-colleagues and friends, the Bidens, the Clintons, the Obamas. But he wasn't unalived, was he? If they tried, they would succeed. I mean, Hillary's closet is full of the skeletons of her bodyguards. Ex-bodyguards. But I won't elaborate on that. If you know, you know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all of this is just an unhinged 20-year-old who climbed a roof and took shots at Trump undetected by some of the most highly trained people in the world, missed, and it is what it is. Yeah, nah, that isn't sitting right with me. And don't get it twisted. If I had a gun pointed at my head and was forced to vote Trump or Biden, it would be Trump. I'm not stupid. I can't stand Biden and a lot of the culture around his administration and supporters who blindly support him without taking a second look at the truth of what is going on in that circus, which is absolutely ironic considering the same is now happening on the Trump side of the equation. There is part of me that loves a massive element of the culture around Trump, the patriotism, the love for God, the love for each other, the men who are actually men willing to stand up, fight and protect their family and children, the old school family unit. If anything comes from all of this Trump crap, let it be that. But if Trump turns out to be a fraud, where does that leave that last piece of masculinity, that last movement to protect the family unit, the last stand for freedom and to live our lives simply being left alone to do so? Where does that leave all of the final attempts to save those values? You see how he could be simply a psyop to flip all of those remaining values on their head via people being disheartened if the truth about him isn't what everyone is being sold? This is how politics, theatrics, and reverse psychology psyops work in order to shift humanity further into the hands of the true hidden powers. It's concerning the fact that a lot of Trump supporters refuse to hear anything bad about the man, and that's where the problem comes. There's also those who are so deep down the QAnon psychosis that will label anyone that questions Trump, not anti-Trump, but questions something surrounding his narrative, they go off calling people conspiracy theorists or left-wing Democrat lovers, blah, blah, blah. We are meant to question things and have the conversation. Otherwise, we are exactly like the unhinged, easily offended and triggered Biden, Clinton, Obama supporters. If you're offended by someone not trusting Trump and questioning the narrative's intention and not believing it, doesn't that make you the same as those who act in that same manner towards anyone who does the same for Biden and that side of the circus? It's the same, but different. I feel like I'm watching the critical thinkers of last season now believing the narrative of this season because it's their homie Trump. It's insane. I just want us as a people to do better when it comes to having these conversations, but maybe people can't handle being let down again due to the fact this is all a very recent, within the last 4 to 5 years, awakening to the truth of the world and their life, realizing everything you once knew your entire life was a lie. Therefore, one more garden path might send you over the edge if you found out Trump isn't what is being sold. We can't keep creating the same biased Jacinda-type mania around Trump, or any politician, or any popular figure. Otherwise, it's all just the same, repeat, cycle and rinse. You know what I believe? I believe the purpose of all of this is to expose both wings of the same bird, to expose both sides. We are here to bring a true awakening that both sides are part of the same corruption, and that is what will unite humanity, and a new way will be born, one that is people-powered. I've only scratched the surface, and there's more and more coming out, such as two blood trails on his face came from the biting of blood capsules and a photo of Trump on the ground having his face wiped, amongst other things. All I ask is we stop showing such bias toward humans and fears of our reality, savior, hopes and dreams being broken, or ego being bruised for being wrong. I'd love to be wrong, because that means something right is happening. If we can't question our leaders, political figures, those we admire, those we look at to be the answer to humanity's problems, those we support, then we simply have the same, but different. Just because someone questions a narrative doesn't make them your enemy. It means there is an opportunity for a productive conversation to be had and growth to be found. I say all of this not from a left-wing or right-wing space of support, if then both. I speak from a place that is a constant hunt for truth, no matter the cost to my own reputation. Let me know your thoughts. 2057 is the text, and the email is inbox@realitycheck.radio. And that's that. The Truth Speaker Show is done for your Thursday. My name is Tobias Tahi. Don't forget to find me on all socials. Until next time, remember to love each other and never, ever, 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 ever trust the government.
You're now listening to The Truth Speaker Show with Tobias Tahi, right here on your very own Reality Check Radio, RCR, your home for music with a side of truth and freedom.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.